pray for me, brother. Bless you. I know you do. You keep it up. If you have your Bibles this morning, would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you this morning from the 8th chapter of the book of Mark. Mark chapter 8. Begin reading at verse 31. Very thankful for the sweet prayer that's been offered. Ask each of you to pray for me as we look together at a portion of God's word, that we might have liberty to preach in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God, that I'd be faithful to Him as a minister, as an under-shepherd, to feed the flock that is gathered here today. I do believe you to be God's little children. The servant of the Lord, we're told in the Bible, is not to strive, but to be gentle to all men, even teaching those who oppose themselves at times. And so every time I stand before the Lord's people, I know how much I need the Lord to bless me, to be able to share with you what you truly need today, and to do it in a way that will be beneficial to you. We are not driving cattle, we're leading sheep and feeding sheep. And there's a whole lot of difference between sheep and goats. And no preaching, no preacher can cause a goat to be a sheep or keep a sheep from being a sheep. If you're a sheep, that is a little child of God. It is the Lord who has made you. You're the sheep of His pasture. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. And God did that. I cannot make you a child of God. That's not the role of a minister. But the minister does have a duty to feed the lambs and feed the sheep of God, and to feed them with the food the Lord gives. And we're not the chief shepherd, we're an under shepherd. We're to look to the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to help us lead as a shepherd. But we have a responsibility to help you as God's little children to live and walk and behave in a way that you enjoy the blessings, but more importantly, that you honor the Lord. And those two things run hand in hand. Honoring God you will in honoring God enjoy the blessings. And to get outside of honoring God is to get outside of the blessings. You don't get something for doing something in the service of God, because you always are going to be a beneficiary of His grace, no matter what you get. It's not you that earned it or merited it, but it's come because of God's grace. And yet there's much of His grace that is here in time for us that you and I can forsake or miss because we are not walking in the place He would have us to walk and doing what He would have us to do. He speaks to us, but we don't listen. He shines the light, but we close our eyes. He clearly teaches us, but we deny that, walk another way, another course. And we see that pattern laid down not only by the disciples and the apostles as they walked here in this world, but we know from our own life there's many times we could have avoided that mess. There's many a times we could have not made that mistake. Sometimes we lack the understanding and don't have the light. We walk just in the darkness because we just didn't have any light. It's the minister's role and his calling is to shine the light. The gospel is a light. It doesn't give life, but it brings life that God has given and immortality that God has given to life. Paul said to bring life and immortality to the light through the gospel. It's the good news that tells you who it is that is giving you life and who it is you're to live that life for, so that we don't get mixed up about that. And we can have that on track in the morning and miss it by noon. I mean, you can have it, you can be straight about that during the church meeting, and before you get out of the church house, get off track. And you can, and that's why we as God's little children need to be reminded over and over again, brought back to this understanding, have our pure mind which God has given us stirred up by way of remembrance, why we want to hear this good news and this wonderful story, this of His amazing grace and what the Lord has done for us over and over again, that we might really, truly put on the whole armor of God and walk in a way pleasing to the Lord. And we find that lesson laid out clearly in this passage in Mark 8:31. He says, "He began to teach them, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter, and he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him and with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words and this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." It always amazed me when you saw the apostles, how at times they stood so strong and so wonderfully, and the things that came flowing out of their mouth by the grace of God. And then at other times, those same men, those exact same apostles, would say some of the most ridiculous and foolish things that you wonder, did they even know the Lord at all or not? Sometimes we look at our lives and the lives of God's people here in this world and we think the exact same thing. Could I indeed be a little child of grace? Could I really belong to the Lord? And if I do belong to the Lord, why is it that sometimes I think so silly and think so foolishly? And why is it sometimes that I don't walk a whole lot better and act a whole lot better? Why do I allow little things that should never bother me trouble me so much? And why do I let things that should not be a stumbling block, especially at this point in my life, at this time and stage, you know? When we were early in this, we knew that and understood and kind of gave ourselves, I guess, a little leeway about it when we said, well, you know, I just didn't know any better, or I just hadn't learned that, or I just, if I'd have known better, I would have done better. And certainly we can look at times in our life, as I said earlier, where we didn't know and we didn't understand. But now that the Lord, and I believe the Lord has certainly blessed our little church here, I know that I've sat under the preaching of the gospel here from visitors and others that has meant so very much to me. We've had union meetings that are filled with good gospel preaching and have had recent visitors with good gospel preaching. And I pray the Lord has on occasions blessed us, even as I stood before you with the message of grace, to where you've been able to understand and know some things and grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. That to the point that you would think, well, I certainly ought to be walking better, acting better, and talking better. But sometimes I look at my life and wonder, could such a thing as me even be His? And it can concern you. But a good thought, and I had this yesterday, shared it with Brother Charles a little bit. One good thought is, if the Lord hadn't dealt with me, would I even be worried about that? If the Lord hadn't dealt with me to some degree, would that concern me? Would I not think, if God hadn't dealt with me to some degree, wouldn't I think that I must be okay and I'd be all right if there was a God? Or if there, first of all, if He had not dealt with me, I wouldn't be concerned about it at all. It's only God's little children that are concerned about how do I stand before a holy and a righteous God? How am I doing? How am I living? How am I acting? How am I behaving? Am I listening? Am I following Him? Because the world that knows not God cannot be taught by a preacher to be ashamed about it. They can get mad at a preacher who tells them they ought to do better. They can get upset with him. But a preacher by and of himself cannot bring anyone under conviction to be able to see, as we've sang that hymn about the sinner and how far away I am from the Lord. That just spoke volumes about how God works in the heart of one of His children. He breaks you down. He allows you to see I'm a sinner and I'm lost and I'm undone and I'm in need. And I have no hope of redeeming myself and no way to recover myself. And sometimes the doctrines of this world come to a little brother or sister under that conviction and they try to start doing a reformation on the outside. I'll tell you how far that goes. That just makes you sicker. It's not a doctrine that helps you. It's a doctrine that God's little children will walk in sometimes to try to, well, they said do this, so I'll do this, and that should get me saved, and I should be okay. And I'm going to be trusting in my walk down the aisle, or I'm going to be trusting in how I shook the preacher's hand, or I'm going to be trusting in baptismal water, or water poured on my head, or trusting in joining the church, or trusting in this. And because I've done all those things, I'll be acceptable with God now. You know what happens when one gets that way? They become very pharisaical and very cold and very barren. And they feel like I'm so far from Him. Because you see, none of those things would wash away one of our sins. I believe all those things are important. I believe all of those things, you know, well, with the exception of a couple I mentioned, but I believe baptism is by immersion in water. And then when that's done in a wonderful way, it's a great picture. It pictures what the Lord did in dying for us. And it pictures our willingness and wanting to walk and follow after Him. But none of that ever washed or removed one sin. Never undid one evil act that we ever did. It is a wonderful thing to do in obedience to the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it doesn't fit one for heaven. There will be many of God's little children in heaven who never went through baptismal water. I believe that with all my heart. Listen, I believe there's a lot of little babies that never saw the light of day that are going to be singing praises to God in heaven. I believe there's going to be those who never heard or didn't have ears to hear it because they were deaf and didn't have eyes to see it because they were blind. But they came to know the Lord not because a preacher brought it to them, but because the God of heaven awakened them. And as a matter of fact, everyone that's born again from above is born just as the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you can hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, nor whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. And that means God has His little children, and they are His people, and they're quickened by Him, and they will be with Him in heaven in immortal glory, because He will not lose one of them. And I believe it's just that sure. But if we get to trusting in something else, doesn't change what God has done for us, doesn't change who we are, believing or any of those things doesn't make us one of His little lambs and sheep. But I'll tell you, it'll make a little lamb and sheep happy if he knows the truth. It'll help that little lamb and sheep walk if he's walking with a light on rather than stumbling along in this world in the dark. It'll help a little child of God if he understands who his Savior is. It'll help him avoid a whole lot of a doctrinal error in this world and a whole lot of pitfalls in this life if he knows who it is we're to praise every single day of our life for everything he's done for us. And do you understand? I believe you do. I don't ask that question like if you do. I'm going to ask this couple this week, if the Lord blesses us to get that, if the Lord tarries till we come, I'm going to ask them if they're willing to love one another and to forsake all others for each other. And I'm going to ask them that. And I think I know the answer. I'll be shocked if one of them says something different. And when I ask them, do you take this person? I ask them that question because they make a commitment to a love that I pray they already have for one another. And that love, if it doesn't come from God, is not very deep. And I pray God has blessed you with that. And that will hold you as a couple together. Pray that will. I know it will if it's true, if it's charity. Charity suffers long, doesn't it? And it's kind. And it vaunteth not itself. And it's not puffed up. And it doesn't behave itself unseemly. And it seeketh not her own. And it beareth all things, endureth all things. That's what a marriage needs to hold up. It's got to have not just old lustful love that's here in this world for a moment and soon gone. It has to have agape, charity, love, that is love in action that causes one to come down from heaven for his bride who wasn't beautiful. As a matter of fact, she was adorned with all her sins when he had his eyes on her at first. He saw her polluted in her own blood, cast out like a little babe and an aborted child in an open field. According to the book of Ezekiel, it lays it out. And there it was a time of love. And he came and said, live and live again, live. If he had not said that to us, we would have never lived. And he washed us up, made us whiter than snow, washed us in his own blood. That's love, isn't it? You want to hear about love, you think about what Jesus did. And Jesus was telling his disciples, telling Peter about that love, telling him about, it wasn't the first time he told them, but he was really opening it up. And when here he's about to tell them something he's going to continue to tell them to prepare them for that which was to come in their life. And he was telling them about the gospel. Now, it wasn't the first time the gospel had been mentioned. Because you can go back in the Old Testament and from Scripture to Scripture to Scripture, if you get down to the essence of what's laid out in the Old Testament, everything under the law pointed to the truth of the gospel. And you read in Isaiah 53, one of the clearest declarations of that gospel given from the prophet by the prophet Isaiah from the Lord. And he lays out how he was going to come, and as the Lamb of God, he was going to die in the room instead of his little children. And he was telling Peter those very things. And you see, it didn't go the way Peter thought it was going to go. You ever find yourself in that way? When you think you got it figured out what the Lord's got in store for you? Can I tell, and I know I can, I'm asking that question again. I don't want to be offensive in anything I say other than if it's the truth and it offends, it must offend. But do you think any of us really have a clue what's coming? No. No, we don't. But I'll tell you, our Father does. The one who holds tomorrow does. Our Heavenly Father who cares for us knows. He knows what we're going to face today and tomorrow and every day of our life. He has blessed us down through the years with what we've needed. Every time we faced something in our life, the Lord has supplied grace sufficient for the hour and for the moment. He didn't give me grace for you. He didn't give you grace for me. He didn't prepare me for what you were going to go through. He didn't prepare you for what I'm going to go through. But He prepared each and every one of us individually, just as individually as He placed the different stars in the sky and gave each one of them their own glory. He has also worked in the hearts of His little children and given you all the capabilities, all the abilities to be what He would have you to be. His divine power has already given to you all things that pertain to life and to godliness. And here Brother Peter was hearing what the Lord was going to do for them, and he thought he knew better than the Lord, so he even got to the place he rebuked the Lord. Silly, silly Brother Peter. Sounds like silly, silly Brother Gary. And silly, silly you. Brother Peter said, no, Lord, it can't be that. I don't think he was happy to hear about it. It also was something he thought, well, this kingdom is about to come because we've been preaching this kingdom. And because he didn't have a clear understanding of it, he thought it was going to be a temporal kingdom. And they were going to reign like kings and priests right there in this day and age, right there over the Roman government. They were going to be in charge. They were going to be somebody. Those who were nothing, they were going to be somebody. And you see what had happened. They'd gotten earthly minded, carnally minded, and stopped being spiritually minded. There are some people who believe you can't be a little child of God if you're not spiritually minded all the time. And they're not honest with themselves, and they don't know the case and the condition of a little child of God. It's only God's children who can be spiritually minded, but God's children can get naturally minded. God's children can get earthly minded. God's children can begin to savor. And I had to look that word up, because savor, you know, I know about the, you know, taste being something savory. You see those little advertisements, savory. It usually means it's good tasting. So I didn't know what savory meant, but savory meant you just thinking about something. What are you thinking about? What's in your mind and thoughts today? What are you thinking about? What's on your mind? Where's your heart? Where's your mind? Where is your focus today? Some days when I'm coming to church, my focus is usually a pretty good place because I'm thinking I'm coming to church. I'm going to stand before God's people. I want to be looking at His Word. I want to be studying. God, fill me with Thy manifest presence that I might feel You. Because I don't want to stand up here and try to teach like I'm teaching a math lesson or a science lesson, but I want to feel the unction of His Spirit and giving me the ability to preach and to teach. And I'm looking to Him and I'm trying to think about Him and lean upon Him and pray to Him, and we're in good shape. But sometimes when I'm going to work on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, mine isn't that way. Do you know I need Him just as much on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday as I do on Sunday morning? So do you. Sometimes our mind is right where it ought to be when I'm by the grace of God. But then sometimes our minds and thoughts are so far from where they ought to be, we're like Brother Peter. And Brother Peter here, he began to teach them. Can you imagine that? Can you hear this from the voice of the Son of God? Oh, we've heard some good preachers, but I've never heard Jesus like this. They heard Jesus. You're talking about the best. Jesus never had to apologize for something He said in a sermon wrong, because everything He said was always right. Jesus could have, anything He spoke was as good as Scripture. A preacher, what he says is of no value or benefit any more than it's in accord with God's Word. We understand that, don't you? That I'm saying it again over and over. I know you understand this. If I say something to you and it really sounds good and it doesn't fit God's Word, it doesn't matter how good it sounds. There's a lot of stuff being said today that a lot of people are buying that they think it sounds good, but it does not fit the Word of God. And what I say is of no more benefit than what the Word of God supports it. And if it's something that the Word of God does not support, I don't care if and Paul said, he didn't care if it was him or an angel from heaven who said this. You're not to follow that. But as they teach you the Word of God, you follow the Word of God. Do you know, as the Scripture, I know you do know, as the Scripture says, you cannot be His disciple unless, He says, he that heareth my words and follow them, he is my disciple. They are the disciples indeed. And they'll know the truth. And the truth will make them free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I kind of slaughtered that quotation. I think it's, if I can find it very quickly, I think it's in the 10th chapter. Maybe not. I probably won't find it. 8th chapter, John. He says in verse 31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Brethren, I'll tell you what, isn't that the truth? Has the truth made you free? Has the message of Jesus made you free? Has it set you free in so many ways? You know, the penalty of sin is such a horrible thing to think about, the wages of sin being death, to be eternally separated from God forever and ever in a place of torment, which is God's righteous judgment of sin. To be free from that payment because He loved you, not because you did anything, but His wonderful work of grace at Calvary set you free from that. To be made free from the penalty of sin is a wonderful thing, is it not? Sure it is. And it would be true for you, but it wouldn't be of any benefit to you right now if you didn't know about it. See, that's what's so fun about being a preacher, is you get to tell people about that. And you can't tell everybody. You tell everybody, but not everybody has an ear to hear it. Not everybody has an eye to see it. Not everybody has a hunger for it. But when you find one of God's little children who feel the great weight and burden of sin, and they feel like their lives are ruined, and their eternal destiny is certain to be hell because of the way they lived and act and talk, not because of what somebody said to them, but because of the conviction they feel in their heart, and you're able to tell that little brother or sister that is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And you say, well, how big a sinner? Paul said, even though blasphemer and a persecutor like me, I am an example of who He saved. I am the chief. He said, I felt to be the chief. Most of the brethren I know would always say, no, Paul, I've even heard preachers say that. I didn't agree with the Apostle Paul when he said, I'm the chief of sinners, because I feel like I am the chief of sinners. And what we need to understand about that statement, Paul said it was a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, which means I can say it, you can say it, we all can say it, because what's true of Paul is true of Gary, is true of every one of us, because all of us are what? Just like everyone else. We all are the children of wrath, even as others, outside of the grace of Almighty God. But the good news is that you've been set free from the penalty of sin. Another thing we can tell God's little children is they've been set free from the power of sin. Now, sometimes we get confused about that and think, does that make me sin free? There are whole denominations of people that are telling God's little children that you can be free of sin. As a matter of fact, if you're not completely free of sin, then you can't be a little child of God. I'm going to tell you, Brother Peter's in trouble here if that's the case, isn't he? His eternal destiny is in trouble. I don't believe Peter's eternal destiny was ever in trouble. I don't believe one of you believed that. I believe Brother Peter was covered in the election that was made by God before the foundation of the world, that he was embraced in the covenant of grace, that when Jesus went to the cross and when he came into this world, he came for those apostles and for every one of God's little children. Brother Peter was wrapped in the love of God. Our eternal destiny has never been in our hands. It's been in his hands. I like it a whole lot better in his hands than in my hands. And I'm thankful to be able to tell God's children that's where it is. Not because I want it to be that way, because that's what the Word says. If the Word didn't say it, I couldn't say it. But because the Word does say it, it's wonderful to be able to say it to God's little children. His eternal destiny wasn't in danger. But how are we set free from the power of sin? Well, we're dead to sin in the sense that sin no longer has to have the dominion over us. Doesn't mean we'll ever be completely free of it. Every day that we live, we talked about this last week, we pray that prayer. The Lord taught us how to pray, not just those words, but the message. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And that's something we have every day of our life. But I'm telling you, we don't have to lie. We don't have to... We will, but we don't have to as much. We have been given the ability in Christ. He said, for those who steal, steal no more. He so told the little woman who was taken in the very act of adultery. He said, neither do I condemn you, but he didn't say, just go and live like you want, did he? He said, no, live differently. Go and sin no more. He said, for us to walk better, to talk better, to behave. Just because I messed up yesterday doesn't mean I have to mess up today. Just because I was an old hard-headed person yesterday don't have to be as hard-headed today. How is that possible? It's by God's grace that's possible. Otherwise, I'd be just destitute to be able to do anything about it. And in myself today, I am destitute to do anything about it. I can't help myself in myself. Because my old flesh is full of all kinds of mess. Galatians 5 tells me exactly what it's full of. Not one good thing. But there's another act and work that has changed my life and set me free so that I am enabled by the grace of God to do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That means I can walk better, act better, and talk better, and behave myself better in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. Now, can I ever say, look how good I'm doing? Well, that's pride, isn't it? And immediately we get into that, we got trouble. And we'll never be able to glory in ourselves. But I'm telling you, God's little children can be thankful. I'm thankful the Lord's given me a place like this where we can come and honor the Lord. I'm thankful that I can hug my brother's neck and say, forgive me, and I believe they've forgiven me, and I can forgive them, and we can love like there was never a problem. Aren't you thankful in your homes that Sharon and I have had some big ones over the years? Some times where I thought we wasn't going to make it. Hear me. Where we were able to come back later and said, God, forgive us. Forgive me. And she forgave me and I forgave her. And the bond, we're closer because of the washing of the blood of Jesus. And listen, it wasn't me, because old Gary would have had his way and still on his way. I still got a lot of that in me. Y'all know it. You see it from time to time. It pops out. The old oots pops out in him. That's just the oots. Pops out in him. And she's got Cornell and Waters and not sugar. And we all have it, don't we? But I'm telling you, what Jesus has done for us is set us free in the sense that it doesn't have to rule your life. It doesn't have to reign in your life. Not because you're something, but we serve a Savior who's everything. And he has an impact on the lives of God's children. If your religion, what you believe, doesn't have an impact on how you live your life, you have a vain religion. It's not true. It's not real. To be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ isn't just to say I love Him. The Bible says, if you love me, John 14, I believe it is verse 15, he says, if you love me, he didn't just say, do what you want. He said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. That means, what does he command us? Well, we got a whole book. That's why preachers preach, to tell you what he commanded you. Teaching us to observe all things, whatsoever that's what he said. You go out and you teach them. It's not just about uniting or being a member or following or saying I'm following Jesus. It's about to be a true disciple. Do you love him? I ask you, do you love him today? Do you love him? Do you love him? Well, if you love him, it's because he first loved you. You didn't start that. And if you love him, it's because he gave you the fruit of the Spirit to be able to love him, because you were void of that without him. And if you love him, it's because you believe in him. And if you believe in him, it's because he's given you faith, because if he hadn't given you faith, you wouldn't have believed in him, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. It's because in order to come to God, a man must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, which means he has to have faith. And if you don't have the Spirit, you won't get faith. So the gospel that says, or false gospel that says, you believe in order to get life, has got to be backwards. You got to have life before you have faith. And you got to have life before you have love. You got to have life first in order to have faith and love. As a matter of fact, all the fruit of the Spirit is not there unless you have life. And if you have life, he gives you that fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. I think it was Brother Jonathan who said the 9 manifold fruits of the Spirit, whatever that is. What we have there is all of those wonderful love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no, I may have missed a couple there, but they're all against such there is no law. All of those things would not be in our lives if it weren't for the grace of God. Can you imagine a world without those things? What a place. You think it's bad now? If God's influence and his people wasn't in this world, what a place this planet would be. See, God works that in his children. And then he calls us to discipleship. He calls us to follow him. He calls us to take up our cross and follow him. Like this little sister, she loved him, and that's why she desired to follow him. And why did she love him? Because he loved her. When did he love her? A long time before she loved him. Before the very foundation of the world. When did he do that for her? In her heart, he gave her love. And then she exercises that. Can you have that love and not exercise it? I'll tell you, you ask my wife if you can have it and not exercise it. I love her, but there are sometimes I sure don't act like it. You know, and when you just tell them you love them and you don't act like it, that don't cut it, does it? Does it cut it? No. And yet, how do we get along? But forgiveness. But should I do better? Yes. Do I have the ability to do better? Yes. How? By the grace of Almighty God. Let me say this. Without the Lord, you couldn't do better. Without the Lord, this church is going to be a mess. We're going to be right at one another. We'll make one another mad for the end of the day. I know time's going. I wanted to get a lot farther than this, but we'll look at that to some extent. He was telling them he must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. I ask you, why did Jesus have to be rejected of the scribes? Why did Jesus have to be rejected by the elders? Why did Jesus have to be killed? Why did Jesus, after 3 days, why did he have to go to the grave? Why did he have to endure all of that? Because of his bride, he gave his life and paid the sin. He was willing to die for her. Husbands need to be willing to die for their wives. And wives need to submit themselves unto their husbands. It's not hard to submit unto someone who's willing to die for you. It's not a cruel bondage. It's someone who's willing to give their life. And I'm telling you, our ultimate example, Jesus, our great example. I love that hymn. I love it more. The more I think about what he's done for me, the more I love that hymn. It says, Jesus, great example, pattern of all purity. He is the pattern that you and I, if you want to follow somebody, you want to see someone to role model, you want to see someone to be like, you look at how Jesus lived and pattern your life life after the great example that He is. Paul said it this way, you follow me, but you follow me as I follow Christ. You follow others of God's little children, but you follow them only as far as they follow Christ. And if you do that, that's going to be a wonderful, wonderful life. So you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And he says, after 3 days, rise again. Why did he have to endure all that? Peter should have gone, why, Lord, do you have to do all that? Rather than that, Peter said, he said, Lord, not so. These things can't be. They're not going to happen to you. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Took the Lord Jesus Christ, who made the heavens and the earth, who he'd seen do all those wonderful miracles, and all that he did, and he thought he knew better than the Lord. We go like, how silly can a brother get? And yet, all we have to do is look at our own life and how sometimes you and I act and think. We get to thinking, Lord, you know, you should have done it this way, or, you know, wouldn't it have been better to do this? Why am I having to go through this? Why did this have to occur? Why did this thing come up in my life? What? Lord, wouldn't it be better if I could have just avoided all of that? Why am I going through these things? Listen, not at my way, but thy way. Not my thoughts, but thy thoughts. Oh, Lord, thy thoughts and thy ways are so much higher than my thoughts and ways, as high as the heavens are above the earth. And oh, as I look at that, I can have peace in my heart about whatever state I am. Paul said, learn to be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. And when he turned about, he looked on his disciples, and he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. Isn't that something? He's talking to who? He's talking to the same one he had just a few verses before. Read it in Matthew 16. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. He said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he answered, some say Elias, or John the Baptist, or Jeremiah, so one of the prophets. And he said, but whom do you say that I am? And Peter spoke up out of that same mouth, this brother Peter, just a little bit before that. Matthew 16 is right there. Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This same brother, and just a few verses later, Jesus is looking at and saying, Satan, get thee behind me. Oh my goodness. How different God's little children are when they savor the things that are of the flesh rather than the things that are of the Spirit. He said this, when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked him, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. Why? For thou savorest not. You're exercising your mind and your thought on things that are not of God. That not be. How do we know what's of God? This book is filled with what's of God. I love the verse that says, think on these things. Things that are lovely and pure, and things that are the truth, and things that are honest, and things that are of good report. Those wonderful things in the Philippian letter that he said, if you want peace in your life, don't fill your head with all this other stuff, but you think on these things, all the things that testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fill your mind and thoughts with that. I tell you, you can watch the news today and get depressed in 2 minutes. Listening to all that stuff out there that's going on in this world. That's why I love coming back to the Lord's house. And you can sing one of those hymns and just feel a peace that just kind of overwhelms you. And you don't even know how it's going to work out. But you know, well, the Lord's in charge, so it's going to be okay. And if we are His children, He's able to take care of us. He's promised to do that. And how much He's done it all down through our lives. And He says, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Where should our thoughts be? On the things that be of God. And when he had called the people unto him and with his disciples, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, do you love him? Then follow him. Do you love him? Isn't that what he said to brother Peter? He said, if you love me, do you love me, Peter? Then feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Second time, Peter got upset. Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Said it three times, didn't he? Peter denied him three times. He had to confess him three times. He said, do you love me, Peter? He said, Lord, thou knowest all things. And that's where we are. Do you love him? I asked that. Well, the Lord knows, doesn't he? He knows whether we love him. Oh, I want to love him more, don't you? I want to love him more. He's been so good to me. I want to praise his name. I want to love him more for how good he's been to me. The more I know about what he's done, the more I see a reason I ought to love him more. I know I need to love him better. I want to love him better. And how do you love him? If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. Do what he tells you to do. And do it not by constraint, but willingly. I said to you today, if you love him, you take up your cross, you follow him. You do what he leads you to do. You'll never be sorry you did what he told you to do. You might be sorry if you do what I tell you to do, because it might be the wrong thing. But you'll never, if the Lord's telling you to do this, you do it. You walk out on it. You try it by the word of God. You be sure it's the Lord that's speaking. You try that by the word of God. If his word says it, confirms it, you step out on faith, and you'll not be sorry for that. And it doesn't mean it'd be easy. The storms are going to rise, don't they? You've been hit by them. You know when you try to do what's right, you find out, boy, everything seems to get in the way. Everything seems to be this world is not running along with that. It's not a friend to help us along. But I'm telling you, the power of God is able to carry God's little children through whatever they'll face in this world. I got a lot more here, as you know, but time is gone. And I'm thankful for what the Lord has blessed us with. If it's been of any benefit to you, give him the praise and the glory. And all the other mess part of that. Jesus had no message to apologize. I have it every sermon. I've got some things that I know weren't. I tried to say it the right way, but I know even in my best efforts, the old tongue gets mixed up and I just say things that aren't just the way they ought to be. I hope that hadn't been the case this morning, but I'm sure if I listened to it and found it got picky enough, I could pick some things, I'm sure. Anyway, don't want to do that. Pray for me, and I appreciate your kind attention this morning.
Love you, my brother. God bless you.